This is Marketing Reads, a Chinese consumer connection where we look at books related to marketing in China. I'm really excited to review, or at least I was excited before I got the book, a new book about China's culture of youth, specifically from an ethnographic perspective. The book's title is China's New Culture of Cool, Understanding the World's Fastest Growing Market. The authors are Li An Yu, Cynthia Chan, and Christopher Ireland. The publisher is New Riders, and it says Voices That Matter. I don't quite know what that is, but the publisher is listed as New Riders. And I think basically it's a book put out by a research firm where these guys are all working, Cheskin specifically. So it has a little bit of that feeling that it's a bit of a promotional material book to push Cheskin's research efforts. But anyway, I was still very excited. The publication date is 2007. The book was a little bit difficult to find. I almost bought it in PDF format. You can get it as an ebook and PDF. I think you can get it directly from their website at Cheskin, where they're pushing the book. I think New Riders is pushing it in e-format too. And of course, in Taiwan or China or Hong Kong, it may be a little bit difficult to find. Luckily for me, though, I was able to get it through interlibrary loan because it's not all I expected. Now, before I began the book, before I saw the actual book, I just read some reviews of it, read some kind of previews of it, and I knew that it was an ethnographic-centered, ethnographic-based work from these researchers, marketing researchers from Cheskin who were over in China, and I knew the book was also full of photographs. So this seemed to me to be a great opportunity to get some insights, some photography, some ethnographic data together, which is exactly the kind of areas this website, Chinese Consumer Connection, is concerned about, and especially this idea of looking specifically at a young generation and this concepts of cool. Of course, cool in Chinese culture, especially youth culture in the last 10 years, has taken on a special meaning in a way that's analogous to cute in Chinese culture. Only it doesn't run really deep, so it's a kind of a surface phenomenon, and I'm not sure exactly what it means. It certainly doesn't have the implications or depth of meaning or fullness of meaning that it does in an American culture where it originates from, or that cute has in a Japanese culture. So I was interested to see what these guys could come up with. Well, in general, that's what it does. And before I go into detail, let me just go over the chapters, because even looking at the chapter layout, I thought, this is a very interesting idea, the way they've laid it out, and this really attracted me. Chapter 1 is called The Generation of Early Adopters. So you begin to get an idea right away. The book is centering on, we're going to have early adopters, and this is who we're looking at, and so we can study this group ethnographically for marketers. Chapter 2, The Power in the Middle. Well, that must be something about the Middle Kingdom, China, something, I guess. Chapter 3, The New Faces of Young China, and this idea of something new changing. And then Chapter 4 begins what I think is really an interesting way to lay it out. Yi Shi Zu Xing, and this is Yi Fu, the Yi, clothes, Si Fan, the Si, eating things, Zu Zai Jiali, Zu, the place you live, and Xing, traveling, going somewhere. So by putting these four characters together, which are kind of a basic way to put them together, meaning you have to have clothes, you have to eat, you have to have a place to live, and then you have to be able to maneuver or go somewhere to go to work maybe. Making the chapters this way was an interesting idea. They did do a good job on that, and I'm going to go into detail, but a little bit disappointing. So chapter 5 is Yi, chapter 6 is Chi, chapter 7 is Zu, and chapter 8 is Xing. And so there you go with those big chapters. Chapter 9 is titled Future and Present, which is kind of a summation or summing up or conclusion of the book. Okay, well, that lays it out. If you can get your hands on it, I guess it's worth a look. But I'm going to tell you, this is a book I'm not going to give a positive review on because I was really disappointed. The way I expected the book, the way it's sold, is this really deep, insightful ethnographic study. And it's far, far from that. It lacks rigor. It doesn't really have any methodology at all as far as the ethnographic is concerned. It's completely shallow and surface-oriented. And the most striking feature of all is its complete overriding assumption of modernity, which of course is something that just never ceases to rub me the wrong way. Almost everything that these researchers are observing somehow is reinterpreted through the lens of modernity and Western cultural assumptions. Now, this makes sense when you look at who the researchers are. None of them are actually local Chinese in China. None of them are long-term stayers in China. One of them grew up in Hong Kong, but Hong Kong is a really special case, if you want to talk especially about the influences of modernity and the assumptions there. And the other two are one's an American, American-born Chinese who goes back to China in the early 90s, does some studying there, and visits on and off. So I wouldn't say these people are unqualified, not at all. They're qualified, but I don't see them working there on a job. I don't see them raising a family there. I don't see them being involved in all of the deep details. What I do see is these guys go to China, they talk down, they go to a couple focus groups, they sit down with a couple families, they talk to a few people, and they get these kind of surface, shallow feedback, and they take it as being much deeper than it is. And of course, the Western modernity thing is always there pushing, and they report it really clearly. Photographs, another big disappointment. The book is full of them. Almost every page has at least one big photo, lots of times three or four smaller photos, but they really lack any kind of strong emotion, feeling, and most importantly, they don't really tell anything. And when they do tell something, it's quite different, in my opinion, than what the book's saying. For example, there's a picture on page 22, and it has a young Chinese woman who I think is really the center of what the target focus group of this book is, this new young youth Chinese. So it has this woman, she's dressed in a leather jacket. She has these really big kind of Yoko Ono looking glasses on. She has earphones where she's listening to MP3 and a kind of a stylish, I wouldn't say punk, but a little bit extreme hairdo, not super extreme, but just a little bit. And she's standing on a corner. Meanwhile, there are three younger girls behind her, and they're staring at her and smiling, and clearly this is something they find humorous or funny. The caption that goes with the picture, however, says, "Young Chinese are not a homogeneous group. They vary in their personalities, behavior, and attitudes." And I'm like, yeah, right. Okay, so 90% of these people who are looking at this girl think she's funny or weird, and somehow this means that it's a heterogeneous group? Uh-huh. Okay, gotcha. Yeah, it just didn't make a whole lot of sense. So that's just one example. The pictures really don't fit with the text, and the pictures themselves are, well, they're downright boring. They're not well done. Let me just jump through the book a few different places where I've kind of cut out some examples of what I think represents this book. For example, Chapter 2, The Power in the Middle, they're talking a little bit about the growing self-help market and the book market and things like this. And I think, you know, this kind of begins in an interesting direction. I thought, hey, yeah, we're going to learn a little bit about the new growing markets in China. But then for some reason, they take off and just automatically jump into saying, young Chinese are very individualistic. They're very concerned about themselves. They want to really do things on their own, and they want to express themselves. And, you know, I'm just reminded of that story, I think I've mentioned it before, where there's a researcher in Japan and he's publishing a book on cute. And the American reviewer says, you know, this is not special to Japan. Americans have cute too. What can one say? One just, you know, chokes, or the head spins, the mind spins at the strange assumptions going on here. Yeah, of course, every human being wants to express themselves. There's no doubt about it. But if you're going to lay these words down on the printed page without qualification of what they really mean or how they're actually implemented, and you just say, well, these young Chinese are just all went out to be individualistic and express themselves, I think, wow, that's nobody I've run into, or very few at least. Or the ones that really are that way are really outside of the norm. And I think as a marketing book, we're trying to find at least a norm of a certain target market segment. Well, maybe I'm confused. The book moves on and they create four different people, a kind of collage of four different types of people. And that was an interesting idea. So they're supposed to be using their research findings, observations, and they say, hey, we got these four different fictional people that are actually a combination of our observations of four different sub-market segments or four different personality types. And I thought that's really cool. That would be useful if you get into the detail. The problem is they never get into the detail. The most they do is they'll have a little margin. In the margin, one of the characters, this is something she did one day, and another character is one thing she did another day, and another character is what he did another day. He went on the internet and spent all day partying. This other girl, she found a big bar at night where she went dancing and then had a hangover the next day, and blah, blah, blah. And it really, really shallow, and I just... I just don't get it. Deeper into the book, and by the way, the book is not very long, which was another disappointment. I mean, it certainly tells that it's not going very far, including its index and all this other stuff. 138 pages, so beware. Big double spacing and huge white areas without anything printed to kind of balance the book, because they do have pictures, so when there's no pictures, it's just big white empty space. Not a very dense book at all. Later into the book, they talk about the malls. And, you know, I've been to China many times. I've been to Shanghai. I've seen the malls. And, yeah, okay, they're there. But I'm not really sure what this represents for these young people. Because if we look at the malls, for example, in Taiwan, which have been here for a good 20 years now, 10 years of intense growth, you don't really get youth culture hanging out there a whole lot. And so I'm really a little bit doubtful that this is what it's about. Window shopping, yeah. Maybe buying a drink or a snack and walking around like in a kind of pseudo date. And I emphasize pseudo date. Yeah, I can see that. But the book just emphasized that as if it's a kind of growing market segment and it's huge and this is where the youth is. And I don't know I see that. They did get a little bit more realistic when they say things like one of the characters goes shopping at the mall and goes out to the street and bargains where they can get a knockoff which looks exactly the same. You'd need an expert to tell the difference between the knockoff and the real in the department store, and they get a much better deal. Young couples going to IKEA to shop around, and I've seen this. I've got some video in another show we're going to do where they, you know, take photos, and I think they take those photos and go home and compare it and see what they can get and what they can fit. Or another option is to go have the same thing made or bought at another location where you get it much cheaper. Not that IKEA is high-end by any means, but the idea is there, and I think they do catch that in the book a little bit, but they don't go deep into it. How does that work? Where are the tendencies? What's the point of talking about the importance of the mall and these high-end designer boutiques if these people that you're supposed to be gathering data on aren't shopping there anyway? So I don't get it. So I guess they're developing some kind of brand awareness through this, but that's not touched on at all. You know, this is what I'm saying. There's no real rigor. There's no real methodology to it all. It's kind of just like a shopping list of different things these researchers have seen. Now, they do talk about some localization. On page 85, they talk about Walmart and localization and how the Walmart looks different than an American Walmart. But again, it seems to really emphasize this idea that slowly everything is moving towards something. Slowly everything's moving towards a westernized kind of standard and things are getting better. And I really didn't like that assumption at all. Of course, someday we're all going to be eating at KFC and the world will be a happy place, I guess, because we'll all be very modern. Okay, there's a lot of stuff on here about young people getting dates, finding their friends, getting online, doing the blogging thing. Is it really that deep, though? How deep is this? You know, I've done a lot of research on this, and what I find is Yeah, we can find Chinese youth that go online and they blog. In the book, they're kind of saying that this is the way these people are expressing the individuality, and they're really pushing on that. But hey, that's the whole reason. Because there's a lack of a socially accepted norm for expressing that individuality at work, at school, and even inside social groups of friends. So when you get to the internet, you can kind of do whatever you want. And lots of that do whatever you want is about expressing yourself, or even in very normal in BBS, attacking or tearing down others. This is a very normal kind of thing. And so here they say the internet is kind of the beginnings of a civil society. And yeah, don't hold your breath, because in Taiwan, which has had a free and totally open internet, what you get is a lot of heihan, a lot of black email, a lot of black stuff going on where people criticize, tear down, rip down, and attack. And this is a chance to get back at somebody in a lot of ways. Okay, I'm going off a handle here, but I just don't see what they're seeing, which is this kind of happy-go-lucky individualism is being expressed on the internet, and that's going to transfer over to real life, and these young people someday are going to be real individualistic. Yeah, okay. Don't wait on it, because it ain't going to happen. It's not happening. Okay, so magazines are popular, everything's getting popular, cars are not so popular yet, but we'll get popular, and yeah, these are all true. There's nothing here that I think is totally wrong. It's just lacks focus, and they're always hedging their bets. So it's always saying something like, oh, all the young people like to go to the internet cafe, and they like to express themselves, but they also like to have friends, and they also like to go to the shopping mall, and they also, so what? So they do everything? I don't get it. I don't know. What's the point here? In other words, there's no modeling, there's nothing really centered on, there's nothing really to grab a hold of. Now, at the end of the book, they say that, you know, kind of state, I think, the reason why they want to avoid stereotypes. Don't have stereotypes, it says. For example, a quote directly from the book says, similarly misguided is the belief that all Chinese adhere to communal values. Among the young middle class, personal independence is increasingly important. Communalism is a strong ethic among many Chinese, but thinking it's their only governing principle is like saying all Americans are only interested in personal independence. Okay, let me redigest that for a second. So they're saying, hey, hedge my bets here. Chinese are everything to everyone, and don't think that they're just communal because America's not just individualistic. Okay, yeah. If Americans aren't major, their overriding value, individualistic, I'll eat my shoes. Thank you very much. Okay, so overall, I just want to warn the reader, the listener, that if you can get the book from the library, yeah, it's worth it. Take a look at the pictures. You'll be very uninspired. It seems like an advertising for Cheskin. And if this is the kind of research data Cheskin's given out to their clients, wow, the quality's not that great. It's very shallow. It doesn't hold up to any kind of research methodological approaches that I'm familiar with. It doesn't really touch on any of the kind of standard concepts in marketing. And of course, I think they're proud of this, because in one part of the book they say, you know, you can't just read marketing books and go out there, you have to be with the people. Well, I am. I live here. I'm here raising my family, doing things, watching my teenagers do things. And I think this book has completely missed the real core underlying metaphors and meaning and value. And rather, it's just gotten kind of a few words from people, and they think, oh, I've dropped into China, I talked to a few people, I see a few focus groups, I go to somebody's dinner and eat dinner with them. You know, there is nothing more misleading than going to a Chinese family having dinner with them, because you're going to get the full Monty treatment when it comes to being told what they want you to hear or what they think you want to hear. But then you need to look at the actual behavior. Are we looking at real behavior here? Is that what we're really looking at? Why are people spending all that time online? What is it they're doing online? That individualism being expressed there, is it really transferred to other places like the work location where they're working part-time? Can they be individualistic inside their family, inside their groups that they hang out with? Can they? What's that all mean? Is that really there? These are the questions an ethnographic study should answer. The real values that are inside, not just the surface outside. And Cheskin here in this book, a little bit of self-promotion. It doesn't promote much to me, though, and I'm highly disappointed. So I don't want to say don't ever read the book or it's a complete waste of time. Definitely don't buy the book. It's a little bit expensive because of its glossy format. Get it from the library if you really want it. Research, contribution, zero. Entertainment, contribution, like a little bit. If you don't know anything about China, you might read this, but you'd walk away thinking, hey, China youth is becoming just like America. Wow, the world's a small place. It's really flat. And it's not, by the way. I don't want to leave on that point. It's not. It's very, very round. Thank you. This is Marketing Reads, a Chinese consumer connection where we look at books related to marketing in China. Oh, 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 oh